happy Father's Day, everyone. Okay, so I think it would be really fitting for me to preach on fathers and the father's heart and the father's love for us on a day like this. But there's a different message that's been really brewing on my heart and in my spirit since the retreat last month. And I'm excited to deliver this word because I feel like it's specific to this campus in a lot of ways, but is also for the entire house and for anyone who really does tune in to this message. I just want to say, New Philly, we are a church that has grown to be faithful in the small things, right? We've been so faithful with the small things. You know, you've been faithful with your attendance at Sunday swim, Sunday service, Friday fire, Jeremiah prayer meeting, and every other meeting there is in the week. Yeah, especially when you didn't feel like it, you were faithful, right? We've been faithful in our tithes and in our offerings. You've been giving to missionaries. You've been giving towards missions. You've been giving towards full-time staff who are on support raising. And you've been giving towards FRF, to the Financial Restoration Fellowship Fund. You've been giving and giving and giving with faith and faithfully. And I just want to say that none of your labor has been in vain. None of your labor in the Lord has been in vain. Whether you see the fruit of everything that you have done yet or not, it has not been in vain. The Lord has not allowed any of that to go unnoticed. He has noticed everyone's faithfulness in this house. Amen? You know, tech team, I just got to give it to tech team. Tech team is there every Saturday during praise practice. They're here Sunday. You know, you might think they're just pressing a button. When we're all worshiping, you know, we're all in the glory and they're pressing a button so we can sing along. Like they're like this karaoke machine or something, right? But there's so much to it. If you've ever run slides in a church ministry, there's so much anointing and skill. I'm so not kidding, right? That goes into it. You press that button 1 second late and everyone looks back at you. You know, right? Right? We all have done that, right? And I just want to say, praise team and tech team, you've been so faithful, so very faithful, and none of that was in vain. None of that was in vain. But how many of you know that when God gives you things to be faithful for, and you are faithful even with the little things, that it's really a setup for even greater things, right? And I just want to tell you, that because we have been faithful with small things, we need to get ready for the greater things. There's greater things that are coming for us. There are greater things that are coming for us. And I want to encourage everyone to continue to sow, continue to be faithful. But now is a time to go beyond just faithfulness and tap into a whole new level of faith. Okay? There are two words that were preached at the retreat last month that really stuck with me. One, Pastor Benjamin, he basically prophesied. He said, New Philly, now is your season to stand your ground. He said, now is a time to stand your ground. The harvest is plentiful and it is ripe. Do not abandon that field. You have sown faithfully. Now you will reap. You will reap generously. That was the word. Stand your ground. Another word that stood out to me was when Pastor Sonny said, shifting is for children. Shifting is for children because they don't know how to be rooted in the truth. Some of you are constantly shifting. I know the word of God, but I'm feeling like this week. Yeah, but this week, oh my goodness, God met me in this powerful way. I will never doubt him. Oh my, this is so tough. And you're constantly going back and forth. It's like this bipolarness about you, you know? And we're constantly shifting. And Pastor Sonny said, you know, shifting is for children. Because children don't know how to be rooted in the truth. And today I want to say God wants to make sure that we're rooted in the truth. That we're no longer struggling with like fleshly things, shifting from this to that and whatever, but to be grounded in the truth because there's so much more that God wants to release. But we're not going to get there unless we're grounded in the truth. Amen? Today, I want to say that God is committed to renew our faith. He's committed to strengthen our faith. Because there are places we will only go, testimonies that we will only possess, and powerful encounters that we will only have if we go to a new level of faith. Faith is what is going to take us to higher levels. Amen. So today, the title of my message is Beyond Faithfulness. Beyond Faithfulness. And I want to preach about three different principles about faith. Let's turn to today's passage, which is from Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And why don't we read verses 1 to 3 all together, okay? Hebrews chapter 11. I'll just wait a little. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 to 3. Okay, on the count of 3, 1, 2, 3. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. So verse 1 here describes faith to be two things. One, it's the assurance of things hoped for. And two, it's the conviction of things not seen. And I'm just going to break this down a little bit. Number one, faith is the assurance or the confidence of things hoped for. Right off the bat, verse 1 is telling us that faith always hopes. If you are in a place where you're not hoping for anything better, that's not faith. If you're not hoping for change, if you're not hoping to encounter the power of God, if you're not hoping for some miracle in your life, that's actually not faith. And at best, what you're doing is you're waiting around for heaven. You're waiting around just, you know, for Jesus to take you up. And you're thinking, oh, this is my lot in life. I'll just be content and I'll just make the best of it. And that requires no faith. Faith always hopes. And when it says faith is the assurance of what is hoped for, as believers, the things that we hope for are the promises of God. That's what we're hoping for. It's not riches. It's not, you know, fame. It's none of that. That's all included in the promises of God. But we, as Christians, what we are hoping for are the promises of God. It's the word of God. It's whatever's written in the word of God. That is what we are hoping for. Faith is not some vague hope founded on wishful thinking. Oh, I hope you did this for me, God. Pretty please, I've been so good this year. You know, it's not just wishing and hoping that God one day might do this for you because you're hoping that he loves you enough to do something for you. It's not this vague thing found on wishful thinking. There's actual substance to our faith. Faith is being sure and confident that God's word is true, that his promises are true, and that he will do what he has said he will do. That's what faith is. A second description of faith. Faith is a conviction or the certainty of things unseen. Let me ask you, how do you have conviction for things that you've never seen? If you've never seen it, how do you know there's evidence that actually it exists? How is that? Let's take a look at verse 3 again. And its inclusion is intentional. This is what verse 3 says. It says, by faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. And we believe this, right? We believe that God created the heavens and the earth out of nothing. We believe this, right? If you are a believer, this is what we believe, right? But how in the world did we get to that conclusion? That this God that we have never, ever seen, by his spoken word, created the entire universe. At least give me some sort of theory. Give me some sort of scientific proof, right? But how in the world did we arrive at that conclusion, to that conviction? It's by faith. And therefore, I want to say that faith actually is the evidence for the things unseen. King James Version says it like this. It says, verse 1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Faith in the Word of God is the evidence of the things unseen. You don't actually have to see it with your physical eyes to believe it. If you believe what the Word of God says, that is your evidence. It is by faith that you believe such things. And without faith, there's no way that we could ever believe and say that we have conviction for things that we have never seen. Faith allows us to see what cannot otherwise be seen. And faith allows us to behold the face of an invisible God. Faith is what allows us to discern the activities of the invisible hand of God. That's what faith allows us to do. So faith isn't this blind following of this God of the universe. But faith allows you to see what you cannot see with the naked eye. Faith allows you to see that even in the natural, there's nothing happening, but you discern. You perceive that God is working on your behalf. You perceive that the hand of God is moving for you. You perceive that God is rooting for you. You perceive these things by faith. Faith is a conviction of things unseen. And I just want to clarify, faith is not living in denial. It's not living in denial of the things that are seen, okay? How ridiculous is this when your bank account says your balance is $100 and you walk around saying, no, it isn't. No, it isn't. That's not faith, okay? Faith is full awareness of the natural. It's full awareness of your circumstances, but bring that into submission to the word and promises of God. It's saying, I know my bank account says that I only have $500. And that's not good, I admit. And that's not where I want to be. But the word of God says, I will lend to many nations. I will be the head and not the tail. I will only go up and not down. And so even though I only have $100, I believe with all my heart, because the word of God says so, that my God will supply all my needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Amen, period. And then I'm going to move on with that revelation. Faith is not about living in denial and about wishful thinking. There's actual substance and there's actual evidence when you are actually walking by faith. Amen? You know, I didn't actually get my sister's permission to share this, but I kind of did years ago. So my sister, I think it was like in elementary school, she started getting really dry skin. And then all of a sudden it got really bad, like really, really bad. And so we took her to the doctor and the doctor said she had eczema. It's like atopy. It got really, really, really bad. To this day, I have not actually in person seen anyone with worse eczema than my sister had. I mean, not to get too like much into the details, it was like her whole hand, her arms, it was like alligator skin. It was like rough and it was like cracked everywhere. Every little like fold in the fingers, it was cracked and cracked open, bleeding open sores. Yeah, I'm sorry. It was really, really bad. Like her face too. And it just covered her whole body. And it broke my heart. It broke her heart. It broke my mom's heart. And it was terrible. And she suffered with this condition for many, many, many years. And you know what? I was so amazed by her. Because when she was in high school, like graduating from high school around 18 years old, we went to see this specialist who's got this track record of like healing so many people of like eczema and whatnot. And so we went and saw him. And he said, you know, you've had this for many years. And if by this time your body has not responded, your skin has not responded to any of the medicine that you've taken or been given, it's we can't do anything about it. Basically, he said, you're stuck with this for the rest of your life. And the best we can do is keep giving you like steroids to kind of like calm it down and to calm down and alleviate a little bit of the itchiness and whatnot. And when we heard that, honestly, my heart sank. I was like, oh, she has to get married. Like, God, send a really righteous man of God who will love her, you know? And I was just like, what am I going to do? My poor sister, I love her to pieces. Oh, my goodness. Like, what is she going to do with her life? You know, how is she going to get a job? And I was just like, that's like the worst thing you can say to a patient as a doctor. We can't do anything for you. But, you know, I was so amazed by my sister because she walked out of it, out of that, you know, appointment saying, you know what? I'm so glad he told me there's nothing he can do for me because now I have proof that man cannot heal me. And I have full faith that God is going to heal me. So I'm actually really excited. And I was like, I'm not even Christian. I'm not even Christian. I was so blown away. And it brought so much life to me, but it was just this genuine faith that I saw. And I stand here to testify, if you saw her last summer when she visited, she's got beautiful skin. Like, she doesn't have scarring from any of that open sore stuff. Like, she's got beautiful skin now. The Lord answered her prayers. The Lord healed. The Lord was faithful, and he was faithful to her faith. She just said, yeah, I'm never going to be healed by doctor's hands, but God's going to heal me. It's not like she was in denial, like, I'm healed. It's like, no, you're not. No, you're not. She wasn't walking around, like, in denial, telling everyone, hey, I'm healed. But she was saying, you know, not right now. And the doctors can't do anything for me, but God will do what he said he will do. And she walked away with so much faith, and I was just, like, blown away. Till this day, I'm just, like, every time I see her, I'm just, like, oh. You know? My first point of today's message. Faith says yes and amen to the promises of God. Faith says yes and amen to the promises of God, especially when you don't see anything coming. Why would you need faith if you can perceive it? If you can see it coming, why would you need faith? Why would you need faith? It's because you don't see it that's why you need faith. The word amen means so be it. Faith doesn't just mean knowing the word of God. It's saying, this is what the word of God says. And I come into agreement that that's what's going to happen in my life. So be it in my life. That's what amen means. It's saying, yes, the word of God, the promises of God are true, and it will be so in my life. That's what it means to have faith. You know, along the years, I've counseled many people, mostly leaders, mostly mature leaders, okay? And the most common response I get from people who have, you know, different hurdles, different struggles that they're going through is, yeah, I know that God's going to turn around all things for my good, but, you know, yeah, I know that he who the Son sets free is free indeed, but, yeah, I know he's going to supply all my needs. I know that that's what he says, but. And, you know, as Pastor Benjamin once said, he said, you know, as believers, we need to work our butt off. That's what we need to do. To have faith is to say, this is what the word of God says. Amen. It's not, this is what the word of God says, but I'm not feeling it. But I don't see it. It's saying amen to it. It's saying, yes, Lord, amen. Let it be so in my life. Turn to your neighbor and say, work your butt off. I mean it. Work your butt off. Faith says yes and amen to the promises of God, especially when you don't see it in the natural. Let's turn to verse 6, Hebrews 11, verse 6. And let's read it together. 1, 2, 3. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. My second point. Faith pleases God, not faithfulness alone. Faith pleases God, not faithfulness alone. You know, all throughout Hebrews 11, it's kind of known as like the Hall of Fame of the heroes of faith, right? And it says, you know, by faith, Noah did this. By faith, Abel did this. By faith, Abraham did this. By faith, you know, Sarah did this. And it goes on and on and on. And they all had different acts of worship. You know, Enoch walked with God. Abel gave an offering to the Lord. Noah obeyed the Lord and built an ark. They all had different things that they did. But the one thing that they were commended for was their faith. It's not that they obeyed. It's not that they had fellowship with God. It's not that they gave large offerings to the Lord. But it's that they had faith. That all of it came from faith. That they gave by faith. That they walked and had fellowship with God by faith. Faith is what pleased the Lord. And it pleases the Lord now. And you know, faithfulness does please the Lord. Okay? It does. When we see him, we want him to say, "Welcome, good and faithful servant." He is pleased with our faithfulness. But you know, biblical faithfulness is not the same as what we have come to know faithfulness to be. Biblical faithfulness means to be full of faith in whatever you do. To be full of faith, and that's why you obey. To be full of faith, that's why you give your offerings. To be full of faith, and that's why you have fellowship. That's why you have quiet time. That's why you spend your, you know, weekends at prayer meetings. It's because you're full of faith. But for this generation, what has faithfulness come to mean? It's come to mean, oh, I really don't feel like going to church today. But, you know, it's required. Like, I should. I probably should. I'm a Christian. I should go. You know? Yeah, okay, I'll be faithful. I'll just go. Oh, I don't want to do this. I don't want to tithe. I don't want to offer God my money. But, I mean, I'm supposed to. So, I'm just going to do it. Oh, I really don't want to go to CG today. I really don't want to go to community group. I'm just so tired. But, oh, if I don't go, G's just going to be on my case. She's going to be calling me. And, like, she will. She will hunt you down. You know, I don't want to bother with that. I'll just go. And faithfulness has come to mean for us as doing all the right things. Not missing out on anything. Making sure that we have a perfect scorecard. Not being absent for anything. Going to everything. But that sort of faithfulness without faith is just dead works. Not just dead works, it leads to burnout, it leads to bitterness, it leads to resentment, and what else? It leads to entitlement. God, I did all of this, and where's my husband? I did all of this, and I'm still broke. I'm still paying off my student loans. I did all of this, and no one appreciates. Y'all are laughing because it hit someone, right? Like, you know, it's this entitlement that you have. I did all of this. Look at my faithfulness, Lord. I earned it. I earned it. Please, please, please. Why won't you? Don't you love me? You don't care for me, do you? Do you even exist? Have I been deceived and misled? And all of a sudden you start questioning your faith in the Lord, okay? Like, that's what happens when you are being faithful without the substance of faith. Got to be faithful means to be full of faith. And so these men and women who are mentioned in Hebrews 11, they were commended for their faith, not their acts. But God mentions their acts because it rooted in faith. By faith, they were faithful. By faith, they did all this stuff. And if you don't feel life as you're being faithful, doing all the things that a good Christian might do, you got to reexamine. It's not like, It's not that, you know, everyone's, you know, taking from you and that God's not listening to you or whatever. It's, there might be a need to reconsider where your heart is, where your faith is, right? You know, that's a red flag when you're thinking that way. God is not impressed by works. And God is calling us to increase faithfulness, but more importantly, that we'd be more full of faith. You know, if we look at the story of Noah, why was God so pleased with Noah's obedience? Noah lived in a time that the earth was filled with so much violence and so much wickedness. And God was like, that's it. I need to wipe away everything. It's become so, like, corrupt, so violent, so wicked that I cannot stand this anymore. I'm just going to wipe them all out. But he sovereignly chose Noah and chose to save Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their three wives. And God says, I want you to build an ark. Because in 7 days, I'm going to send rain. And it's going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights. And we might think, wow, the only proper response you would have to that is obedience. Just go and build the ark, right? But you gotta understand, it had never rained, ever. When God said, it's going to rain, I'm going to send rain for 40 days, 40 nights. What's rain? Oh, so rain is like when water falls from the sky and onto the earth. It's like, what? Water is going to fall from the sky down to the earth? What is this? This is nonsense. It's never happened. I'm like 600 years old and I've never seen it happen. And then my forefathers never saw it happen. What are you talking about? Rain? Water from the sky? It's going to wipe away everyone? It's so nonsensical, right? But for Noah, he said, God, you said it. I've never seen it. But God, you said it, and I believe you're going to do it. So I'm going to obey. God wasn't just pleased that he obeyed and built an ark. He's like, good craftsman. You followed my instructions. That's the most beautiful ark I've ever seen, you know? You followed every description, every instruction to the T. It wasn't like that. He was saying, I'm so pleased by your faith. I told you something that was outside of your grid, that there was no signs, like the clouds had not turned. It's not like you felt a speckle of water as the Lord was saying he was going to send rain. But you believed. I could see whatever I wanted, you would believe me. I'm so pleased. God was pleased with his faith, not his obedience. It was his faith. Faith responds to the word of God, even when it doesn't make sense, even when you don't see it coming. Faith is the substance of all we do. Our offerings, our fellowship with God, our service to the Lord, our labor in the Lord, our obedience. All of that needs to flow out of faith. You know, did you know you can take part in all those things? Be faithful to go to CG, faithful to be a good leader and lead your CGs, your community groups, and do it without any faith. That sucks. It's so draining. It's such a burden. To go into every CG meeting without understanding the word of God and without understanding that the word of God is true, without understanding that he who refreshes another will be refreshed himself, without knowing that, you're going to walk away from that CG meeting thinking, ugh, one down, five more to go for this season. It's inevitable. God wants to grow our faith, not just our acts of faith, our faithfulness, but so that we would be full of faith, so that we would experience life, and so that we would experience God's pleasure. You know what? If you think about it, if you please God, do you know what that means? It means there's divine favor on your life. When you try to please your teacher, what do you call the teacher's pet? Because they favor you, right? Imagine you have the favor of God. Can you imagine the type of favor? The divine, amazing favor that you would have flowing in your life? And it says here, without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's why we need faith. Because we need his favor. We need his pleasure over our lives. Amen? Amen. So far, I've mentioned two principles of faith. One, faith says, okay, wake up. Faith says,
yes and amen.
Yes and amen. And faith pleases God. Now, this last point, I'm getting stirred up. Even just thinking about this last point, okay? Faith releases the power of God. Can I say that again? Faith releases the power of God. There are only two times in the Bible where it says that Jesus was amazed. He marveled at something he saw. And one was with the faith of the centurion, and two was with the unbelief that he saw in his hometown, Nazareth. In the account of the faith of the centurion in Luke 7, verses 1 to 10, there was a commander of the Roman army, a centurion, and one of his servants that he valued very much became very sick. And around that time, Jesus was going around doing, you know, releasing signs, healings, wonders, and miracles. And the centurion, he heard about this Jesus. Side note, he's a Roman citizen. He's not a Jew. But he heard about this Jewish guy named Jesus who was going around healing the sick, casting out demons, working in signs, wonders, and miracles. And so when his servant fell sick, he sent some of the elders to go and ask Jesus to come and heal this servant. But then even before Jesus could get to his home, the centurion sent some of his friends and told the friends to give this message to Jesus. He said, you know, I'm a man of authority myself. I can tell one soldier to go and they're going to go. And if I tell them to come, they're going to come. If I tell them to do this, they're going to do this. So I understand authority. Jesus, I've heard of everything that you've done, and I acknowledge the authority that is on you. I believe that you don't even have to come. Just say the word, and I know my servant's going to be healed. He says, say the word, and I know he's going to be healed. You don't even have to come. You don't even have to touch him. Just say the word, and I know he's going to be healed. And it says that Jesus was amazed. And he goes, even in all of Israel, I have not seen faith like this. This Roman, he's the opposer. He's the persecutor. He had greater faith than even the Jews. And he was so amazed. And then those friends go back to the centurion's home and they found this servant all healed and better. Faith releases the power of God. Faith releases the power of God. You know, for us, we got to understand that we're at an advantage compared to the centurion, okay? He was waiting for Jesus to even speak the word, right? For us, we've already heard the testimonies of Jesus. And in the word of God, he's already spoken. Some of us are still waiting for Jesus to say the word. Jesus, just please, would you heal? Just say the word and I know they're going to be healed. That's not what God is calling us to. He's saying, I've already spoken. Everything that I need to say, I have spoken in my word. The word is right there. I have spoken. Now it's your turn to believe. It's your turn to believe. We can't blame God for not seeing his power. He's not withholding anything from us. Nothing is he withholding from us. He's just waiting for us to release faith. He's waiting for us to release faith. You know, I really wanted to share on the woman with the issue of the blood because this story gets me really, really stirred up. The woman with the issue of the blood, she was bleeding for 12 years, nonstop. She spent all her money trying to get healed, trying to get treatment from other doctors. And it just actually, it says that her condition got worse and worse and worse. 12 years of nonstop bleeding. There was no hope. Kept on getting worse. But she heard about this man named Jesus who was going around healing the sick. And so, you know, wherever Jesus went, because he was like, you know, working in signs, wonders, and miracles, everyone was, you know, crowding over him and around him, right? And so this woman, because she's so desperate, she goes into the crowd, gets through the crowd, and manages to get behind Jesus. And what she says is, I know if, as long as I just even touch his garment, if I even touch his cloak, I know I will be healed. And so she gets right through the crowds, touches his cloak, and then leaves. And it says, immediately she felt the blood stop flowing. Immediately, that's what the word of God says. Immediately she felt healed. And you know what Jesus did? He turned around. And he said, who touched me? Who touched me? And disciples are like, we're in a crowd of people. Everyone's touching you, Jesus. What are you talking about? And this is really interesting. Jesus says, no, who touched me? I felt power leave my body. I felt power leave my body. And this woman in fear, and he was like, who touched me? And so this woman goes up to him and says, I touched you. In fear, thinking that she did something wrong. And he goes, your faith has healed you. Now go off, my daughter. Your faith has healed you. When you release faith, God releases his power into your life. God releases his power into your life. And so many times, we're like the crowds. Listen carefully, we're like the crowds. We can be in the very presence of God and expect nothing and have no faith and experience no power. You can be at Sunday service during praise time. And you know, the word of God says God inhabits the praises of his people. Whenever we worship him, his presence comes. He's in our midst. He's in our midst. We're the crowd and Jesus is here. We're all touching him. He's here. He's touching us. We're touching him. But there's no faith to believe that in praise, God can actually heal me. In the midst of praise, God can deliver me from this anxiety attack that I've been experiencing all week. In the midst of praise, God can heal me from insomnia. In the midst of praise, God can work a miracle and all of a sudden he can erase all my debts. In the midst of praise, God can do anything. When we don't have that sort of expectation, even when we enter into the presence of God, we're not going to experience his power. We got to stop acting like the crowd, being in his presence all the time, but no faith and therefore no power in our lives. We got to be like the woman. Let me just be where you are, Jesus, if I even touch you. Or like the centurion, just say the word. I'm going to be healed. Yes. Amen. That's the sort of faith that God is calling us to because he wants to release his power. He wants us to experience his power. Amen? We all have to admit, we all need some of his power in our lives, don't we? Right? Man, we all do. It's not that God is absent in our situation. It's that faith is absent. You know, counseling people too. I can say this because I'm not the leadership director anymore. But in counseling people, I can tell when someone has faith and someone doesn't. I can tell when someone wants to receive my counsel and doesn't really care to receive my counsel. I'll just quote scripture, okay? This is, okay, if you've ever received counseling from me and this is what happened to you, like, the Lord, you know, he'll heal you. It's okay. You know, I don't hold anything against you. And when people come to me, the first thing I do is I listen to them and I say, I quote scripture. I hear what they say and then I quote scripture that applies to them in that situation. And when they say, yeah, I know, but then I'm like, okay, all right. You know, the word of God also says this, right? Yeah, I know, but like, you know, all this stuff, right? And then I'll be like, okay, can I pray for you? Yeah, can I pray for him? And almost always they'll be like, yeah, okay, yeah, sure. And I'll just, and I'll pray like, I can't even pray because it's like, there's no faith. And I'll just be like, Lord, bless their week. Would they encounter you this week? Would you make yourself real to them? And it's the most generic prayer, and it's sincere, okay? It's sincere, but I can't go any deeper because you're not being receptive anyways, right? Why would I do that? It's like what Pastor Benjamin said at the retreat, and I don't think you can say it any better. He said, there are vampire Christians out there who suck your blood and then leave. But if they suck your blood, at least live. But you suck their blood and then you go out and die again and you come back and you suck their blood and it's just like, you don't live. Like, at least live then. You took 3 hours of my time and of my life. At least live, you know. At least take something from what I said. You know, and being a mom now too, I ain't nobody got time for that. Really. I'm not going to sit with you for hours if there's no willingness, no openness, no faith that I see. And I can discern it. So if I've pulled the whole, can I pray for you? From now on, start thinking, oh, maybe I'm not listening. Actually, Pastor Anita, can you say that again? I'm ready to listen now, you know? Okay? And then there are those who draw the anointing out of you. They're like, I'm going through such a hard time. I know that God provides for me and all this stuff. And it's just been really hard. What do you think I should do? And I'll just say, the scripture says this. And you're in this sort of season. They'll be like, yeah, I totally forgot about that. Honestly, it came to mind, but it was hard for me to believe it. But yeah, you're right. And I'm just like, ooh. And you know, God also says this. And God also says this, and all of a sudden they're like, yeah. And you see their countenance change because the word of God is powerful. When you speak the word of God and they reject scripture, I mean, what tells you that they're going to listen to anything you say, right? But if they respond to scripture, that's my whole like way of doing things. But if they respond to scripture, it's just like, whoa, what's this anointing? And I start saying things, I start prophesying. I'm just like, that's so awesome. Where did that come from? What wisdom. And I stand there, I'm like, I'm so amazed by what I just said. And I walk away and I'm just like, Lord, thank you so much. And I feel refreshed. I could have sat there for like 30 minutes and it felt like 3 minutes because I'm just like flowing with the Lord. And it's just like, there are people who have faith and just draw the anointing out of you. There are people who will touch the cloak of Jesus and be healed. And then there are those who are like, Jesus, Jesus, come. Lay hands on me. Okay. God, if you really love me, send this prophet to prophesy over me. Me. Okay, I'm going to take this time now and I'm going to prophesy for someone. And you're standing there like, me. I will know that you love me if you highlight me to that person. And if you don't highlight me to that person, you don't care. It's faith that releases the power of God. And he's always in our midst, you guys. He's always. It says that we are his dwelling place. We are his dwelling place. So faith says yes, amen, and amen to the promises of God. And faith pleases God, not just faithfulness, right? And faith releases the power of God. You know, we got to understand that there are others who are mentioned in Hebrews 11. In verses 36 to 39, I'll just read it quickly. It says, others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised. And you might think, wait, Pastor Anita, you just said that all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus, right? How come these people didn't receive everything that was promised to them? 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, "For all the promises of God find their yes in Christ. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory." You guys, it's not just that Jesus has made the way for the fulfillment of God's promises. Jesus himself is the fulfillment of every promise of God. Jesus himself was. And though Jesus did not walk the earth when these men and women of old were there, they saw it. They perceived it. They saw and perceived that there was a coming Messiah. Though they did not see, they believed. And that's why they were commended for their faith. And that's why it says that they weren't given everything that they were promised. It's because Jesus is the fulfillment of every promise in God. We're going to be naive and really, really disappointed if we believe that every promise of God will be fulfilled in our lifetime. We're going to be so disappointed. So disappointed. Because that's not what the Word of God tells us. The Word of God tells us that we are eternal beings. We have eternal life. Word of God says that Jesus is returning. And when Jesus returns, it says in Revelation 21 that there will be a new heaven and a new earth. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. That is what we are looking forward to. That is the day that Jesus returns, that's when we're going to see the complete fulfillment of every promise in God. But right now, we got to understand that through Christ, we have access to the promises of God. And what we experience here, the promises that are fulfilled here in our lifetime, is a shadow of the things to come. But we at least have to experience and taste that shadow. We have to at least experience and taste that power of God. Why? Because it's not just about us. It's not just so that we can experience God's power, but so that God's power would be revealed to the world. God is calling us to faith. He's calling us to new levels of power. He's saying, "My son is returning soon, and I need to release this power. And I need my people to believe. I need my people to have faith."